1 o'clock here in Edmonton. You tuned into the Dave Jamieson Show. Matt Iwanek, Jeff Walker with you here momentarily. We'll catch up with Jeff O'Neill of a TSN 140, John Price of Sports Information Traders. We'll look a little ahead to the NFL weekend betting-wise. And we want to hear from you in the James H. Brown Injury Lawyers inbox. 10-12-60 from James H. Brown. Alberta Injury Lawyers, when accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. I'm going to have to do some digging now into this weekend, into the trading of this second and third round pick. Because Elliot Friedman, the texter from Courtney BC, is responding that Friedman reported this week that the Oilers could trade it. Bronco Nick saying it would be a conditional pick. You can do the second if available, or third, and maybe a fourth or equivalent, that you could have it work out that way. Also, for the same person from Courtney BC saying, no, the team would take the same pick in the 2023 draft, the same value. In a sense, it would be same value. It also depends on how the teams view. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. How they view the various draft classes. I haven't looked into that myself right now, so I don't know if the 2022 versus 2023 draft class, which one's better or worse. So it'd be very close to same value. I'll give you that. Very close to same value, but it does change things a little bit. Then I guess if that's all possible, then changes what the Oilers could do with the draft, but it's not the full value as if you had a second round pick to just trade this year. The fact that there would be conditions, I would assume that changes some of the value that you're getting, you know, where teams are going to value it. But I don't think it's too that much, that crazy. That's why I'll go with very close to same value then. Well, I'll make the trade deadline a little more interesting then when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers. I find Mikko complaining about the lack of run support horribly ironic. He's 12-7-1. The Oilers scored 5 or more goals in 10 of his 12 wins. The only reason he's not 2-17-1 is because of run support. Mikko has been bad all season. The hot offense covered up for 2 months, but there's no hiding from it anymore. That coming in from walkie-talkie. The thing I will say about Mikko Koskinen's comments, a lot of people just saw the initial comments where he talked about run support. The full quote that did come from it, he started by saying when you're losing games, people immediately look to the coach or immediately look to goaltending, that it wasn't a complete going after run support. He was just making it a mention in full that when things are going bad, people often look at goaltending. And in this case, at the time, you know, they were losing and the goals weren't being scored for Mikko Koskinen in some of those games. That's where that was. So I'll defend Mikko a little bit on those comments that he had. I guess that had been last week. Jeff O'Neill of TSN and Overdrive. He joins us here on the show. And Jeff, I just want to start quickly. And one of the bigger stories around hockey this week, it was Evander Kane. There's no question Evander Kane's a great player on the ice. And any team would be happy to have Evander Kane on the ice. But there is the issues off the ice that you have to deal with him. Where do you come out on teams looking to sign him? If you were running a team, would you be looking at bringing in Evander Kane in right now?
You know, it's one thing about the sporting world that I do find interesting where it's like maybe like some places of work where somebody gets in trouble, they can just kind of go back to work and go on with their life and they're allowed to do it. No one's yelling and screaming, but I guess that's part of being in the public eye. It's like people are knowledgeable about what this guy's been through. Is the track record look pretty bad? Yeah, it does. There's some greasy stuff on there, but there's just all kinds of angles. I don't want to feel like I'm rambling here, but it's like there's some greasy stuff in his past, but does he deserve, it's not even, by the way, it's not a second chance. We're talking 5 or 6 now, I believe, wouldn't we be?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I don't know, there's a part of me where I don't like his past and I want the guy to do well. And the question is, does he deserve to work for a living? And I think the answer is yes. Like, I think the guy deserves to work for a living. I know being in the NHL, it's being in the public, and it's not the same as being a guy that works in an auto body shop. But the guy, I guess, he's got to live a life, and he's got to work. Does he deserve to work? I think he does. And I think for the team, if we're just talking about the hockey element of it, it should be short-term. And you would like to think, now I say this understanding that Evander Kane is the player and he's done some real stupid stuff, that 3 or 4 months, can you behave yourself and just play hockey and try to revive your career here? Because that's all that's being asked. And if it's, you know, you would think that could happen. So if it's Edmonton, great. And if it's somewhere else, great. I just hope the kid gets it back on track because I don't know how many chances there are left. Probably the last one.
Oh, it would have to be the last one, I would assume as well. When I remember you and I having.
Sorry, Matt. Just one more thing. It's going to be crazy if a team signs them, let's say Edmonton, because with this guy's past, when you're talking about the gambling and the amount of money, who knows kind of what stories are out there. Like, it would be awful PR if this guy signs a contract and all of a sudden there's another investigation or there's another this or another that. That'll be, you know, that'll be kind of egg on the face whoever signs them. So you just hope that doesn't happen either.
I guess, and that's where I think, to at least for me a little bit, I'm surprised. Like, we had Dreger on Monday, and immediately said there was 15 to 20 teams that were inquiring about Kane. And I'm surprised maybe there wasn't a little more due diligence done by teams. And, like, if it wasn't for an investigation that the NHL is now doing into his COVID positive trying to enter into Canada and Vancouver, it seems like the Oilers would have signed him this week, and we'd be talking about him being an Edmonton Oiler. But, you know, where's that little a couple of weeks to just make sure that there isn't anything like that, and you're making sure that there's nothing that's going to put egg on your face moving forward?
Everybody talks to everybody in the NHL, and I've talked in the past, and I don't know Evander Kane. I can't speak for him, but the one thing that I've been told, and I just don't blurt out things. That's just not me. I know a lot of people, and when I started working at TSN, Bob McKenzie gave me some great advice. If you're going to have a comment or something, or a report on something, and I'm not a journalist, I don't do scoops or anything like that, but you damn well better have it right, and it better be true. So don't be the goof that's just blurting out stuff. So I basically know everybody that runs the league, on teams, in the league office. I played against most of them, or I know them in some capacity. And when I asked about Evander Kane, the worst indictment on the kind of like a hockey player is just like, he's a bad guy, and it's not thrown around. Sometimes it'll be, you know, described in different ways, but a bad guy is just, I don't know, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I was thinking, what do we got our hands on here? But for the San Jose Sharks players to basically say, we don't want that guy back in our locker room, that's also a tough comment. So who knows?
Earlier this year, I remember you asked me a question about the Oilers' goaltending, because you were getting some heat on the Oilers' goaltending because you didn't think that they were winning, right?
Oh, yeah, people yelling at me. Yes. People yelling at me saying, oh, the goaltending's great. What are you talking about? So there you go, people. Where are you at now?
I wanted to bring that up because you were right during that time. But, you know, this Oilers team, and Mike Smith now going to be gone for another, they say 1 to 2 weeks, but the first time this year he was hurt day-to-day turned into months. And Mikko Koskinen hasn't been playing well, but it seemed that Mike Smith wasn't going to get hurt. Stuart Skinner was going to be staying in Bakersfield. And even though he's 23, he's been giving the Oilers better chances to win than Mikko Koskinen. At what point do you just run with a young goalie and allow him to play when your backup isn't there? Like, does he still need some AHL conditioning because he is so young?
What about having to sacrifice somebody to get another goaltender? There's a lots of options to go and sniff around a goaltender, and people are like, oh, why are you going to get a backup? And I don't know who that situation would be if you're talking about a team with a quality backup like the Rangers or Columbus or whatever. The bottom line is, it's better than what they have. How they started the season with that goaltending tandem and thought, with also the best two players in the world, and thought that was going to be suffice to help them get over. And I don't know if it's analytics that say you don't really need the all-star goalie, but you damn well need a good one. So I don't know if it's Tip love affair from Arizona, because he played so well in Arizona, and he still can't get to the current clock of where this guy's age is at or whatever. But to go into the year with that goaltending, I don't know. And why not a trade? Why do you got to just – I don't know what. That goaltending situation is so frustrating. And if I'm the best player in the world when the clock is ticking, I've been in the league for 5 or 6 years, or however long McDavid's been around, I'm like, we're supposed to be winning a championship with this stuff? I think it's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense.
With Jeff O'Neill of TSN. Now, they announced the All-Star, or most of who's going to be representing their teams at the All-Star game. Do you like the idea that every team has to be represented at an All-Star game?
No, I think the All-Star game is a complete farce. I was just thinking about a year where I like Sammy Kaplan, and he was a teammate of mine, but it was my 41-goal season, and I was clearly supposed to be an all-star in my mind because of where my stats were on the team. There wasn't too many 40-goal guys. And they had to select Sammy Kapanen to make it work for the World All-Stars. I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, why do you need a representative from every team? There's some representatives on a number of teams that are just like, they shouldn't be All-Stars. And I honestly think I love everything hockey. I can watch a preseason game with Buffalo and Columbus and totally enjoy it. But I can't even watch it. It's so bad. It's 3-on-3. Nobody's trying. They're not even skating. So I don't know why they haven't had everybody. There's a summit for everything, Matt. Summit for this, goaltending. Summit for this, Canada. Why isn't there a summit to fix the All-Star game and find out what would make the players actually want to go? You know it's bad when they don't even want to go. I'll guarantee you Sidney Crosby probably told somebody, don't even think about picking me because I ain't going. I've had enough of it because it's so garbage. But I don't know. I just think it really sucks. Like, and I watch everything hockey. I'm like, okay, your buddies will say, let's watch the All-Star game. Sure, love it. This is just one I can't even watch it. It's painful.
Okay, but you played.
Just breakaways and the outfits and this and that. I'm like, can't we have a traditional All-Star game? Why does the NBA love it so much? Why does Major League Baseball, all the stars show up and it's awesome? But the NHL's is garbage. Absolutely garbage, and I can't watch anything about it.
Well, does that come down to, though, just the sport that is hockey? Because it's the same with football. I think it has the similar problem like hockey does, where stars don't want to go to the Pro Bowl. But
yeah,
it's such
football
a physical game.
With the Pro Bowl, people don't want to go when it's goofy and it's stupid. And the one guy that throws a hit is frowned upon. So I don't know.
Like, I just feel like the two sports,
real contact sports, are a problem.
Right, and that's where I think it. Like, I don't think you can actually have a true Pro Bowl or an NHL All-Star game because you're never going to be able to replicate those games the way we want to see them played for an exhibition because it's too physical.
So I'll tell you that. They did it when Mario and Wayne took pride in the All-Star game to see who was the best player, and they were only playing for a Toyota Tundra pickup truck back then or whatever the hell they played for. But they found a way to make it important, and it was kind of like a spectacle back in the day, I thought, anyway.
NFL playoffs this weekend, how excited are you? And, like, I know you were a Tom Brady guy, so you follow him to the Bucks. Do you still have a little love, though, for the Patriots?
No, I don't.
It's all gone?
It's all gone. I don't know why. It just disappeared. I am still fascinated with Belichick, though, and how he wins and finds the way to win. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat Buffalo. I would not be shocked one bit at all.
What game intrigues you most?
It's going to be fun. What's that?
What game intrigues you most this weekend?
I would have to say Bills-Patriots,
yeah.
No?
It's.
I mean, there's a really good team that had big aspirations that's going to be going home. I don't know. I hope so there's some new blood that gets involved, too. I don't mind. I wouldn't mind seeing a couple upsets just because I don't have skin in a lot of games. And by the way, when I say I'm a Bucs fan, I really don't care. I'm just a Brady fan.
Well, that's the thing. So you want them to win because Brady's still there.
Exactly. And you know what? I've been seriously considering, and this is a weird move, a strange one. When Brady leaves, I might take my fandom down I-95 to Cincy.
Really?
And be a Bengals fan because I like Joe Burrow. I kind of like the guy. He's got some moxie. He's really good. Man, I don't know. But that's a tough follow to be a Bengals fan. Like, I don't know. I don't know anything about being a Bucs fan either, but Bengals, I don't know what the hell goes on with that fan base.
Well, at the very least with the Bucs, if you ever wanted to go watch them play a home game, you're in Tampa Bay in Florida as opposed to Cincinnati, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Last week, we were talking about, you know, one day getting a house and a golf simulator, and you said talk to you this week about what's going on. Have you guys, you know, you and your wife settled on a house or anything, or how did that go this week?
No, we backed out of the house. I'm not buying a $2 million house so my cats have a backyard to play in it. That was basically the extent of it.
Okay, well, the good news, though, then I saw from your Twitter account this week is you got the TaylorMade sim or a stealth driver. Is it as beautiful in person as it looks like in photos on the internet?
Well, being in Ontario right now, it's not exactly driving ranges open right now, as I'm sure you understand being where you are. But, and by the way, you can't go to any indoor golf. I'm just beside myself with this COVID stuff. It's not like I don't believe in getting vaccinated or anything like that, but I've just had enough. So there's nowhere to hit it. People have asked me, what's the driver like? I'm like, well, it's minus 20 outside. Where am I supposed to go hit it? Like,
But just aesthetically,
no,
does it look nice? Like, is it as beautiful as it does on photos?
Oh, it's as good as it gets. I mean, I've been a TaylorMade golf freak since I played golf in Carolina. It was like, I have sets of irons from like 1999 all the way until present. So to be able to get locked in with some TaylorMade stuff is just amazing. But I don't know, this thing looks, they all look amazing, but I'm like, how much farther am I going to hit this thing? I got to maybe get some more flexibility before I can actually compute that stuff and get some numbers, but it looks pretty damn good, I'll tell you that.
Hey, if you could just get 5 more yards, it's worth it. You could just get
five more yards. I believe that.
Jeff, appreciate the chat and appreciate you joining the show again today, and hopefully we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Okay, bud. We'll talk soon.
Jeff O'Neill, the O-Dog from TSN and Overdrive. I wonder how soon their driving ranges would open out in Ontario. I guess I should have asked them in normal times without COVID. Because for us, it's not till March you'd usually get it. Well, April, mid-April, you could start seeing, depending on the weather each year, it always changes in Edmonton, obviously. I always would put a generalization on mid-April or so courses are opening. Driving ranges would open before. So late March, usually. I wonder what they get out in Ontario. Probably better than what we have here. Love Just Honesty saying it's an absolute joke that McDavid has to go play hockey with such a garbage lineup as we have in Edmonton. Very sad for McDavid. This team will never win with this management. Well, at the very least, when it comes to the goaltending, I could see why. If you're Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, you look at that, you know, fans are looking at that and going, how are you going to win a cup? Imagine being one of those players sometimes. I don't think Connor McDavid would be saying anything to anyone about that, but privately, I could see him maybe at times thinking about that. How could you not?
I do for sure, especially when you are looking at Mikko Koskinen and letting those soft ones that we've been talking about. I really loved that that hit with Jeff today. He was bringing it.
He
didn't hold back.
I just don't. I look, I wasn't around in the 80s, so I don't know about those All-Star games. I don't know if how much better they were. From what as a kid, I loved All-Star games. But I was a kid. Now I won't watch the Pro Bowl. I won't watch the NHL All-Star game. I do tune in a little bit to the NBA All-Star game, and I do tune into a little bit to the MLB All-Star game because I think they're closer to the sport. One texter saying the NBA game is horrible. There's no defense at all. And you're right on that. There is no defense. But the last couple times they did it, they've added like a different rules and target scores and actually made it a little interesting. But hockey, with how physical it is and how fast it is now, players are they going to be wanting to play at that level for an exhibition game nowadays? I just don't see when players want to do that. I don't know how you would incentivize them to want to do that. And if you're an owner of a team, I don't know why you'd want them to do that in the first place.
I'm not saying that they should do this, but maybe you take a page out of Major League Baseball's book, and if you hold it with the conferences, and whichever conference wins the All-Star game, they get home ice advantage.
They got rid of that in baseball.
Did they get rid of that?
In the last few years, they got rid of that.
Yeah, I actually thought that was a good idea. It gave the players something to play for, a reason to be there. I think for me, what bothers me about the All-Star game this year, besides the fact that they're holding it, I still don't think you need to have an All-Star game this year with everything that's been going on. Like, use that time to play the games. The people that were left off the list this year, not going to the All-Star game because you wanted to have a player from every team on there, it's unbelievable. Troy Terry from the Anaheim Ducks, like, he's a rookie that's having like just a phenomenal year, and he's not going to be going. Nazem Kadri, another one. He's never what I thought I'd ever be behind Nazem Kadri going to an All-Star game, but the guy's having an amazing year. He's like one of the top scorers on one of the best teams in the league, and he's not going to go. Even Nathan MacKinnon said, like, why wouldn't Nazem Kadri be going to the game this year? He deserves a spot. There's just so many players that have been left off of the team, and it's because they want to get other players. Well, we need a player from this team. We need a player from this team. Well, you don't necessarily. Are they the All-Stars? No. They're just the best player, unfortunately, on a bad team.
Yeah. And they're not All-Stars at that point, then.
Yeah.
They're not. Because there's quite a few that if you were just trying to take who's having the best season this year, the only thing I could live with is the host team having a couple of players come. The host team having 3 or 4 players of their team represent, because they're the host team. They're the market that really only cares about those games generally. I could live with that one, but there's 32 teams in the National Hockey League now. Do we really need, like, not all teams are good. We experienced that in this city for many years where the Oilers were right at the bottom. There wasn't necessarily deserving of All-Stars some of those years. So
Did we have Sean Horkoff go 1 year? And, like, I love Sean Horkoff. Don't
that
get
me
wrong.
That was the year he set the speed, or the he was, like, the fastest skater.
Yeah, too. Like, I love Sean Horkoff. He got a lot of trouble here in Edmonton. A lot of people were mad at his contract.
Year that year. I think he had a good first half of the season, but I could
But did
wrong.
He deserve to be at the All-Star game? You know, because you were a good player on a bad Oilers team. And it's the same thing.
He's Jeff Walker. I'm Matt Wanick. We're late to break. When we come back, we'll jump into the James H. Brown inbox, 10 to 12, 6140. John Price, Sports Information Traders. This is the Dave Jamieson Show on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. 125, Dave Jamieson Show here. Matt Wanick, Jeff Walker. Listeners always have the answer for us. Horkoff was on pace for over 45 or 50 goals that year. Yes, he deserved to go that year, but I'm pretty sure he suffered an injury in that All-Star game and derailed his season a bit. The fact that that listener is bringing up the injury, that kind of rings about. I think the shoulder injury came that weekend for him. And then another texter, Horkoff deserved to go to the game that year. He was a point-per-game player and was by far the best player in the Oilers that year. Of course, he wound up out for the year in about game 50, signed a $5.5 million deal and was never close to that player again. So, yeah, I thought that year he was deserving of it. But then it just derailed everything.
And I do want to say that I do love Sean Horkoff. You know, like, he got so much heat when he was playing here.
Because his contract was at one point, I think, was it $7 million was his salary 1 year?
Yeah.
And everyone called him the $7 million player. When it was only $5.5 on the cap. That's all that matters.
He did so much for the Oilers, and I loved watching him out on the ice, and I always felt bad for him because, you know, like, that contract maybe was a little bit of an overpay for him, but he was kind of the heart and soul of the Oilers for a long time.
T-Bag, it's called the NHL Gallery of Stars, not an All-Star game at all. I like that. Yeah, it's a selection of stars from the league coming together, but it's not the full All-Star game. I say get rid of the All-Star game entirely. You can still name the first and second team All-Star players, but don't have a game. To relate to that, you have, like, the Canadian Football League doesn't play an All-Star game, but they name All-Stars every year. They name divisional All-Stars and then the league All-Stars. In college, you don't have your All-Star games, but there's, you know, all ACC players, first, second teams, all of that. You know, you go to curling tournaments, Bond Spiels, and you got your first and second teams. Why couldn't you do something in that regard where, yeah, you have a first and a second team? The reason we have the All-Star game, we know, is the money. There's a corporate dollars to it, and that's going to happen. But it's never going to turn into something good. That's just, I don't see how we'll ever get to that point one day. But I would love for it to be off the schedule. Just like I would love the Pro Bowl to be off the schedule. But the Pro Bowl, people watch it, and they get corporate money, so it's not going away.
Kill the All-Star game, bring back the World Cup of Hockey. That's what I want to see. Best on best tournament.
Boys, the skills competition is definitely watchable, but each should send their guys that have won its own skills competition. Then they have the NHL's fastest skater, hardest shot, and it's actually true. That coming in from Hacksaw. Writer Jesse also saying, I watch the skills competition religiously, and you can't pay me to watch the 3-on-3 All-Star game. I agree with the skills competition. That's always fun to watch. Here's how I would do it if I was the NHL, and I won't even have necessarily you have to, every team sends the person that won their skills competition. I would do it like the NBA, which is you just put it out there. Who are the best three-point shooters? Okay, this is the list of the best three-point shooters. They go to, do you want to come or not? They get the people that participate. They bring them to All-Star Weekend. Whether they're All-Stars or not for the skills competition, they're just there for the three-point competition. They're not All-Stars. Same with the slam dunk. Same with every competition that they have for the skills competition. I would make sure the best players in the game that are good at that skill, those are the ones I want to come to the skills competition. And then you have the All-Star game the next day. Then you have the All-Star with the actual All-Stars. But for the skills competition, have the best players of that skill. Don't just have pick and choose from the All-Stars to represent in those skills. I think that's where the NHL sometimes misses out on. It's for kids and sponsors. Get over it. I know what it's for. And I'm not the only one that thinks the All-Star game is a joke. But to all those that have texted in already, and Jeff and Neil, I guess, get over it. Yes, we just can't have a discussion about something we don't like. How about I'll get over the fact that we don't like it? You know, it's not about the game, right? Yes. Yes, it's about money. I'm very aware what this is about. It's about money. It's actually not even about the kids. It's about money. The NHL doesn't care about the kids. They care about the money. That's why it's happening this year, because of the money. That's what the All-Star Game is completely for.
It's supposed to be entertaining, and I just don't find it entertaining. That's the problem with the All-Star Game right now. And it's if they did it differently, like if they could find a way to make that game entertaining, then I would go back to watching it. Because I was really young in the 1980s, and I get that I was a kid, but I did really love watching the All-Star Game because it seemed like the players actually wanted to go to the game. And so they were actually putting effort into playing. Sure, Gretzky won a bunch of trucks back in the 1980s or whatever, but they actually wanted to be there. And that's the difference between the All-Star Game back then and now. The players, they don't really seem to care about the All-Star Game, like even the skills competition. And I do watch the skills competition every year. I'm always interested in that one. But the players just, it doesn't seem like there's anything really in it for them. I get that you can win $1 million or whatever it is if your team wins the three-on-three tournament, but that doesn't really mean anything to the players either. And once again, if you're not going to have the best players in the league there, why are you calling it an All-Star Game? And we don't have the best players there. We have players from every team.
You have to answer that phone quickly, but I want to read a text while you're on the air, Jeff, after, because you'll understand this, and it's going to be, I'm not going to be whining about something, but Jeff will understand it as much as I'll understand it. Nazem Kadri's on pace for 130 points, but the scores writing articles about Mikko Rantanen being snubbed. What a joke. If Kadri, it would never happen. 48 points in 30 games. What a joke. And I don't completely dispute all of that. This text coming in, it's the same person telling us to get over it, Jeff. Why do you go to work? Can't be money. I'll tell you right now on radio, we could be doing a lot of other things in our lives for money. You don't do radio for money. Correct?
When you're buying the 24 packs of Ichiban noodles, I can't afford the Ichiban ones. It's the Mr. Noodle noodles. You're not doing it for money.
This industry, if you're getting into radio for the money, you picked the wrong industry. I'll tell you that right now.
I can't get over that one. That's a good text. That might be my text of the day. Yeah, no, we definitely don't do this job because you're looking to make a whole bunch of money. I do it because I love to talk about sports. And yeah.
We could be doing a lot of different other things in our lives if we wanted a better paycheck.
Oh, you could go work at McDonald's. They have great benefit packages. They pay better than this. You don't get yelled at on a text line. Well, maybe you do at McDonald's. I don't know.
Oh, you're getting yelled at McDonald's.
Yeah.
You're getting yelled at McDonald's.
Just in a different way. Just in a different way.
There's going to be somebody that's going to be upset about some order or something, or taking a little too long or a lineup. They deal with stuff.
Why is there only two pickles on this Big Mac instead of three?
All-Star Game thought each NHL team sends three players. A tournament of 5 minutes, three-on-three games occur. The winning team gets $1 million overage on salary cap for the remainder of the year. That coming in from the rookie. That's an incentive. Except that only benefits the good teams, doesn't it? Like the teams that are bad, they're sending their three teams, they might lose. And they're not spending to the cap. I guess that's the thing. The teams that aren't spending the cap, what's the extra $1 million for them? For some teams, it's going to be big, but there's other teams that it doesn't help at all. It's creative, though. I do like it to a large degree. DDP, I'm with you. Bring the best players to the NHL, to the All-Star Game to have the best product. Why it's difficult to compare to the NBA is because the NHL doesn't have a three-point contest type event to bring the best players into that event. Young Guns versus Vets All-Star Game. Have some sort of incentive for winning. Iceman, maybe go do something you're actually good at because sports talk isn't it. There's a lot of things I'm bad at, Iceman. I don't think there's anything I'm good at.
Thanks for texting, though.
Oh, he's been listening. Yeah. He texted our show yesterday. Texts every so often, so we're so bad. It's interesting that you're tuning in, though. John Scott, All-Star Game MVP. All-Star Game is a joke. JH from St. Albert. I will go back to that. Like, even though in the 80s they had better games, I don't think the owners want their players playing that competitive of a hockey game for an exhibition game. Just so fans are more excited to watch the All-Star Game. They already have issues with it going to the Olympics to a degree, right? Like, if we incentivize the All-Star Game to be a better hockey game, that means a more physical hockey game, which leads to potential injuries. And that's the part where it just, I will... Maybe one day you could find that solution to get the players to be incentivized to play that better game and play an actual hockey game, which, again, would be physical. But then would the owners and the teams want that? Because would you want your best players then going to a game where potentially there comes that injury? I don't think you'll ever find a solution moving forward with these All-Star games. They are always going to be what they are. They're always going to be played because of money. And every year, a lot of us are going to have the conversation about why we don't enjoy them. It's the circle of life, I guess. He's Jeff Walker. I'm Adam Wanick. When we come back, John Price, Sports Information Traders, as well. We'll continue in the James H. Brown inbox at 10, 12, 16, and tell you what's coming up on the Jason Greger Show. This is Edmonton Sports Leader TSN, 1260. 140. This is the Dave Jamieson Show. Matt Wanick, Jeff Walker with you here. Coming up, John Price, Sports Information Traders. We'll be catching up with him as we do every Friday. And we will get into the inbox 10, 12, 60. A text came in earlier in the show that I haven't got a chance to get to, but I do want to get to because I feel like it's an interesting conversation. But from 2 until 6, it is the Jason Greger Show with Jason Greger, Jason Shrudwick, Connor Halley on the show today, Ryan Rashog, Ian Mendez, Tom Gazzola, Craig Button, Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News Cowboy reporter, Low Tide, Nick Holden, Senators defenseman, and Steve Tasker, former Bill and host of One Bills Live. He's the co-host on it. I have to do the full Rod Black. He's the father of Luke Tasker, former CFL or former Hamilton Tiger Cat. We're with John Price, a sports information trader. Now he's featured in Forbes, Yahoo Finance, and on national radio. You can catch him at sportsinformationtraders.com or give him a call at 1-866-441-2711. Before we get into the game of this weekend, John, what do you guys have coming up this weekend at Sports Information Traders?
Well, we just finished a great college football season, and all the clients who signed up this year in Edmonton understand the value of being on the right plays. There's so many college football plays from September all the way through to the national championship game. And now the NFL, of course, gets a little bit more readable with the fact that we're in the playoffs. And we've got seven teams in the AFC, seven teams in the NFC. A lot of opportunity and value is coming. And we are preparing up to 15 plays between now and the Super Bowl. 15. It's our NFL playoff package. It starts now. The playoff games start tomorrow. And if you're an Edmonton listener, which if you hear my voice, you are, and if you're a brand new client, which means you're not with us currently, go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. You'll get 50% off the entire NFL playoff package, up to 15 plays, but you must sign up before kickoff tomorrow, 4:30 tomorrow. The Bengals and Raiders start the NFL playoffs. You must get in before that kickoff to get 50% off. You can also give us a call, 866-441-2711. But go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com, and get started now.
This weekend, we're going to see a classic rivalry renewed between the Cowboys and the 49ers. Cowboys -3 in this game. How do you see it playing out?
Well, first of all, for anybody over 40, when you see the Cowboys and Niners on the field together in January, it's got to bring back old memories. I mean, this is really what it's all about. Two traditional franchises. Line opened up at Dallas -3, and that's where it is right now. So equal money coming in on both sides of that play at this point. Cowboys coming off a win over the Eagles. They've won 5 of 6. And in those six games, Dallas is an incredible +10 in turnover margin. So they're getting the turnovers, and that's really helped their defense as their offense has gotten a lot more healthy over the coming weeks. I expect them to play very, very well in this game coming up on Sunday. Niners coming off a dramatic season-saving win over the Rams. We probably all watched it. It was dramatic. They needed a touchdown to force overtime. They got it, won the game in overtime, bounced the Saints out, and took their place. You know, they need points early in this game. Dallas at home is feeling it, and they can get buried early. So it's very important for them to not get behind last week. They were behind 17-0 to the Rams before they figured it out. Now they cannot do that and expect to beat the Cowboys. In terms of wagering, I don't see a big lean here on the side. I am looking at the total, which is 50.5. We hear a lot about both of their offenses, but their defenses are just as much the reason why they're playoff teams. I'm taking the under 50.5 points in the Cowboys-Niners game. For our radio listeners, that's a free play, not one of our plays, but one you can look at. If you want to get in on our plays, and we have tremendous amounts of people who have signed up with us over the years out of Edmonton, knowledgeable people. And I know hockey rules in Edmonton, but you know your football. You know your CFL. You know your Eskimos. You know your NFL. And you know that there's nothing better than watching NFL playoff football and winning money in the process. Go to our website, sportsinformationtraders.com. You'll see it right there on the homepage, up to 15 games. It's our NFL playoff package. It starts now. It goes through the Super Bowl. You must sign up before kickoff tomorrow, and you will get 50% off all the way through the Super Bowl. This is the time to do it. If you've waited, this is the perfect weekend. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com.
John, enjoy the playoffs this weekend. We'll catch up with you next Friday.
We certainly will. Thank you.
John Price, sportsinformationtraders.com. I want to get to this text now on the Edmonton Oilers, which I think is an interesting question. We've had the conversations about Stuart Skinner being the guy here with Mike Smith over Mikko Koskinen. This texter says, what does Skinner have to do to take the starter position over a healthy Mike Smith? And I don't know what the answer to that would be. I don't think he can this season. Necessarily, unless I guess the only thing I could say is Stuart Skinner continues to keep playing the level he is, and Mike Smith, again, we're going with the healthy Mike Smith, is playing 900 hockey. Like, he would have to be completely peter off and not be anything that we've seen from him, you know, to start this year. You know, he's been bouncing back from injuries. It's hard to really judge him based on this year, but he would have to be nothing like he was last year, or almost like nothing that we've seen. You know, when he's been rather consistent with the Oilers, I what do you think, Jeff? Like, what would it take for Skinner to be the new starter for this team over a healthy Mike Smith at this season? Because I could see it going into next year, but this season,
unfortunately, it's going to be an injury to Mike Smith.
So, but we're talking a healthy Mike Smith. So you're saying that there would be nothing then?
Pretty much, Jeff. I was actually just going through his audio that when he was on the show a little bit earlier today, and he was kind of talking about it like. Dave Tippett loves Mike Smith, and that's where the issue is going to be getting Stuart Skinner starts, is that how do you get Dave Tippett to look away from Mike Smith in order to play Stuart Skinner? And Stuart Skinner can play lights out, but you know that Dave Tippett is going to count on Mike Smith. Maybe it's because he goes out and he plays the puck as well as he does, or maybe it's just the friendship. I don't know what it is, but we all know that Dave Tippett, when he's going to choose his goalie, he seems to want to choose Mike Smith over whatever else is there every time. Now, I get that he was choosing over Mikko Koskinen before, right? So, you know, like I can kind of understand why he would choose Mike Smith. But at this point right now, I've said it, I am more confident in Stuart Skinner than I am in Koskinen and in Mike Smith. So me personally, I'd start him right now. But the fact that Dave Tippett loves Mike Smith as much as he does, I don't think Stuart Skinner is going to get that chance. I think he's going to be a backup. And I also think that Ken Holland knows that, and that's maybe why he'd want to see him, Skinner, play some more games in the minors and go with Koskinen and Smith for the rest of the year. But I don't want to see that. I want to see Stuart Skinner play. He's the future, or could be the future here.
He might be the present.
Yes.
I guess, yeah. So the question, let's say the Oilers go to the playoffs. What does it take for Stuart Skinner to be the starter of the playoffs over Mike Smith, a healthy Mike Smith? Right now, I don't see that being as possible. Stuart Skinner would have to keep playing lights out, and Mike Smith would have to drop to, like I said, like a 900, maybe below 900 save percentage, a guy that's just not giving them a chance to win at all. And having done that for a long period of time where they were winning, the reason that they got to the playoffs was the games that Stuart Skinner played over Mike Smith. What else? I just don't see that being something as possible for this season.
I don't think I do either. And I think it's kind of a shame because I think Stuart Skinner should get the shot. I think he's ready for the shot. I don't know how he's going to do with it, but I think he should get it. Mike Smith, he's played 5.5 games this year. Would you say he had an A-plus start in any of those games? In those
Mike
five and
Smith,
a half?
His first two games, I thought before he got injured to that Anaheim game, he was great in those first two.
I thought he was okay.
Oh, I thought he was better than okay in those games.
You know, I guess it was a long time ago, so maybe I'm not remembering the game. I don't think he was
36 of 38 in the Vancouver game. He kept them in that game. That one went to overtime. They weren't particularly the best in that game. And then Calgary, a couple nights later, 45 saves on 47 shots. Only letting two goals, was peltered with shots, made some key saves. He was brilliant. That's where I looked at those games and went, he's Mike Smith from last year again. Now, since he's come back, you know, he gets hurt in the Anaheim game. The other games he's come back, he hasn't looked as good. I will give you that. But it was first two, he was good. At least that's the way I saw it.
Such a long time ago. That's what it is. Like that's how long people have been waiting for Mike Smith to come back this year.
It's also just a long time since, you know, those two games were October 13th and 16th, and we've only seen the Edmonton Oilers play a combined, you know, a total 34 games. We're supposed to be, is now what the halfway point, or would we be just past the halfway point?
Well,
but like,
I
it's
think,
like, they haven't played a lot of games in that time, so it's also hard to remember. It's hard to remember their last game against Toronto. It's been so long.
I think Vegas is up to 39, and they're the top of the division.
Yes. But in I haven't, but they've had some postponed games, right?
Yeah, that's
so. That's where I'm saying, like, if there were no postponed games, when do you usually hit 40? You know, the 41 mark, and I usually feel like that's, isn't that right at the beginning of January? So usually, but I could be off on that. Don't forget, he went to Koskinen in the bubble. He went to Mike Smith in the first game in the bubble, and Mike Smith wasn't exactly great. And then he went to Koskinen and stayed with Koskinen the rest of the way.
And Koskinen didn't look bad in the bubble. Like, I don't think Koskinen played bad in the bubble. He had a couple of, there was a couple of bad bounces against him.
Here's what happened with Mikko Koskinen in the bubble, at least in my eyes. He was fine. He wasn't terrible. He didn't hurt the team in major ways, but he didn't do anything to steal the Oilers a win. He never stole them a win. And what we saw in game four, the deciding game of that series, Corey Crawford stole that game for the Chicago Blackhawks, and they moved on in advance. He came out, and he made those extra saves and just was stellar in net. Mikko Koskinen was fine, but in the playoffs, he can't be just fine. You need at least a game or so where you are brilliant, and you are stealing that game or putting the Oilers in a spot to go win that game just because nothing's getting past you. That was the problem I had with Koskinen in the bubble. He wasn't terrible. I don't think you could look at Mikko Koskinen in those games he played and call him terrible. But he wasn't great. He wasn't brilliant. Looking at how hard it's been for the Oilers to move on from Koskinen without the same track record that Smith has, I don't think there's any way the Oilers will completely move on from Smith and declare Skinner the clear-cut number one. And that's kind of where I'm at with the idea. It would take a lot, I would have to say, for this year for Stuart Skinner to become not just the number two on this team, but to find a way to be the number one on this team this season. An Oiler game to watch tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. It's been a long time since we got to see them. Yeah.
We'll be watching at that point what it'll be second half, Bills, Pats as well. We'll have a Donnelly and GM on White pregame show, 6:30. Tom Gazzola, Connor Halley. They've been chomping at the bit to get back on the air. Hernan Salas back with a postgame show. He hasn't done a postgame show in quite some time.
I think it was before Christmas, wasn't it?
The Blues game. I think that one game. He got that one game, so it's been since the 28th or something Hernan's done a post-game show. Oh, if things don't go well tomorrow, tuning in just for Latino Heat, it's going to be something else. The passion, the fire that Hernan might have. He's been bottling it up for some time. That's going to be worth tuning in just in itself. And if the Oilers win, well, they beat the Sens. Maybe they're turning things around.
Are you calling a win tomorrow?
I don't make predictions anymore. I've thrown that away. They better win tomorrow. They better win.
You're right. They better win.
I'd like to thank our guests today, Tyler Remchuk, Daily Faceoff, Oilers Nation, Jeff O'Neill from TSN, and John Price, Sports Information Traders. Thank you to you, the listener, for tuning in and texting, not just today, all week. Up next, the Jason Gregor Show Gregor, Strudwick, Halley, 2 until 6 this weekend. NFL playoffs, Oilers tomorrow. Lots to recap on Monday. On behalf of Jeff Walker, I'm Matt Awanek. Enjoy your weekend. We'll chat with you at noon on Monday.